In May 2001, I had the opportunity to meet one of my heroes. He was receiving an honorary degree from Marquette University, and I was able to score an extra ticket through a friend who worked there. I know, who goes to a graduation event by choice? When he walked out on stage, the arena filled with applause, and then he bowed to us all before taking the podium. Then he said, "For a long time, I wondered why I felt like bowing when people showed their appreciation for the work that I have been privileged to do. What I've come to understand is that we who bow are probably, whether we know it or not, acknowledging the presence of the eternal. We are bowing to the eternal in our neighbor. You see, I believe that appreciation is a holy thing. That when we look for what's best in a person that we happen to be with at that moment, we are doing what God does. So, in loving and appreciating your neighbor, we are participating in something truly sacred." That wise, humble hero of mine was Fred Rogers. Yes, Mr. Rogers of the 33-year-long television show, Mr. Rogers who changed his sweater and his sneakers at the beginning of every show, who wrote simple songs and used puppets and make-believe. Over the years, I have had the opportunity to meet any number of really big minds and important public figures. I met Henry Kissinger when I was a student at St. Norbert and hosted Li Lu, the student leader of the Tiananmen Square protests, and had the opportunity to introduce Gustavo Gutierrez, who was one of the founders and brightest minds of liberation theology. And yet, Fred Rogers, the children's television host, meeting him remains one of the highlights of my life. He holds that space in part because of what he said in those opening remarks at the Marquette graduation 20 years ago. He was embodying and giving voice to that Eastern tradition of namaste. The sacred in me acknowledges the sacred in you. But even more than that bow, in his ministry, he strived to create an epidemic of acknowledging the sacred in all. Yes, I said ministry. Some don't realize that not only was Mr. Rogers an ordained Presbyterian pastor, he was ordained to television ministry. He is what a televangelist is supposed to look like. As we read today's gospel, in which Mark tells us that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which, though tiny, becomes a massive shrub, so large that the birds of the air are able to find harbor and protection in it, the work and tactics of Mr. Rogers come to mind. This truly brilliant man spent the entirety of his career trying to help 4- and 5-year-olds to understand how truly sacred they are and how sacred the entire world is. He understood this gospel, that tiny things grow into extraordinary things, that the simplest action, treating everyone with dignity and respect, no matter who they are or what they have accomplished or what they can do for you, is a gospel act. Our passage today starts out with the phrase, "the kingdom of God." Since kingdom really isn't a category that we use in our lives today, it makes sense for us to break that down a little bit. Sometimes it's translated as the reign of God. But when we read Kingdom of God today, the language that I find most helpful is the culture of God. The culture of God. The culture of God is like a mustard seed, a tiny thing that puts down roots and shoots and ends up being a blessing, a safe harbor for others. Instilling an innate understanding of one's human dignity was central to Rogers' ministry. In 1968, he invited Francois Clemens to take on the role of the police officer on his show. This was just 4 months after Martin Luther King had been assassinated. Racial tensions were running high throughout the country. And Clemens says that he didn't have a very good feeling about police officers himself. Nonetheless, Mr. Rogers prevailed, and Officer Clemens became the very first recurring role for an African American on a children's show. In fact, in one very powerful episode, Mr. Rogers talks about how hot it is outside, how he would love to cool off. And so instead of changing his sweater and shoes, he invites the audience out into his front yard, fills up a little wading pool, rolls up the cuffs of his trousers, and dangles his feet in the water. Shortly, Officer Clemens stops by for a visit, and Mr. Rogers invites him to join him. Officer Clemens accepts, places his very brown feet in the same water as Mr. Rogers' very white feet. Today, we probably wouldn't think much of this, but in 1969, even more than lunch counters and buses, pools were not only segregated, they were almost completely off limits for African Americans. In the simple act of sharing a kiddie pool, Mr. Rogers communicated volumes about the dignity of every single human being. That's not to say that he got everything right. What was not published for a very long time was that Francois Clemens, the man who played Officer Clemens, was gay. He tells the story that Mr. Rogers came to him and told him that he'd heard rumors that Clemens had been frequenting the gay bars in Pittsburgh and that he needed to stop going there. Mr. Rogers told Officer Clemens this for the sake of the show, and yet in doing so, he diminished Francois Clemens' understanding of his own self-worth. Even though Clemens abided by Mr. Rogers' request, it stung, driving a wedge in their relationship. And yet, of all things, it would take one of Rogers' simple recurring songs to heal their relationship. One day, Clemens was on set when he heard Rogers singing his classic, "It's You I Like." The song goes, "It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you wear your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now. The way deep down inside you. Not the things that hide you. Not your diplomas. They're just beside you. It's you I like. Every part of you. Your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new, I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like. It's yourself. It's you." Clemens says he got tears in his eyes and asked Rogers, "You were singing to me today, weren't you, Fred?" Rogers responded, "Frank, I've been singing to you for years. Our gospel is about living in such a way that the little things that we do will grow and flourish and thrive and become massive blessings to those around us. Friends, maybe I'm a Pollyanna. Maybe I just haven't grown beyond Mr. Rogers' view of the world. But I think it's more that in every instance of every day, I ask myself, how would the gospel of Jesus Christ shape my understanding of whatever it is that's in front of me? If Mr. Rogers were here today, if Mr. Rogers were here today, I am absolutely sure that he would be working on finding a way to make an episode about the children on the border. I'm absolutely sure that he would be working tirelessly to teach a whole generation that every single human being, regardless of nationality, regardless of status, regardless of age, regardless of ability to contribute to society, is precious in the eyes of God and needs to be treated as such. He would be finding ways to teach us that the culture of God, the reign of God, the kingdom of God, is to live as to be such a blessing that we become safety and rest. There is so much more that we will need to say about children and immigration in the days and weeks to come. I've been reading about research that is now telling us that Holocaust survivors actually pass the trauma of their experience epigenetically, and that therefore we're coming to understand that today's traumas have generational impact beyond what we ever realized. There is so much more to engage in on this issue, but for now, I encourage you to check out the latest link on the church's Facebook page. It's shared from the National United Church of Christ and has some information on links to our national work on immigration. Additionally, the immigration advocacy team is meeting this Tuesday at 5:30 in the English Room, and you're all most welcome to be a part of how we discern how this church is being called to be part of building the culture of God. Our gospel today is about how small things manifest in massive ways. And whether you put that to use this week by making a conscious effort to let everyone you meet, the grocery clerk and the crossing guard and the CEO, know that they are special, that they are carriers of the divine spark of God's love. Or if you put it to use by advocating for the young and powerless in our midst, my prayer is that the gospel of Jesus Christ will flourish in you and through you and grow exponentially. May it be so. Alleluia and amen.